Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and we're blessed to be here in the lobby of the Wynn at the Sirius XM Studios for Office Hours. And our next guest is the normal dynamic keynote speaker, podcaster, entrepreneur. That may be vanilla of Office Hours because we only accept people like you three that have a desire that you must be what you can be. But not all of our guests are like Dylan Smith. And the reason is, Dylan, is obviously you're a little younger than the rest of us up here.
A lot.
but there's something that I missed when I was your age as a success like you are as an entrepreneur, and it's humility. I was afraid to admit that I didn't know what I didn't know, and I had very little humility. From the time I met you, I said, wow, here's a very successful young entrepreneur, speaker, author, the normal podcaster, but he's so humble for someone so young. Where have you derived the confidence to be so humble, to know that you don't know what you don't know at such a young age, when usually when we're afraid of not knowing what we don't know, we project that as arrogance, not humility?
That's a great question. Thank you for your kind words, by the way. But the question, to answer your question, if you walk into every room, no matter what room you're in, if we're in a McDonald's or we're in Vegas or we're in Detroit, and I walk into any room and I go, I know nothing, teach me what you know, how do I walk out without learning? It's almost impossible.
And where'd you learn that? Because most young people are 19-year-old life coaches. They're selling themselves like they know. Right? Talk about the lack of humility.
Yeah. I learned that from a mentor. As you know, my mentor is Craig Siegel. Craig Siegel's been very implemented. He's changed my life forever. You have too.
Well, good, because I mentor Craig Siegel. So it's
there you go.
Exactly what I'm living for, empowering others to empower others. Right. Thank you for your compliment.
Of course. Thank you. I think the biggest thing is if I walk into a room with an ego, first of all, I'm very unapproachable, right? Nobody wants to talk to a guy who walks in with an ego and talks about what he's made, not who he is. If you ask most people today, hey, who are you? They're going to answer with what they do for a job and who they take care of, their kids or their husband or their wife, but they still haven't answered the question of who they are, right? So if you're going to walk into a room and introduce yourself, who are you? You're going to have to do it in a way where you feel what I'm saying. And I transfer that on stage. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to feel what I'm saying. And I want you to connect with what I'm saying so you can then help somebody else. I'm not here for me. I'm here for the kids that I was. I was in school. I didn't know how to read until I was 16. Wrong meds for 10 years. There are kids who have it worse than I did. Who would I be to walk away like, yeah, I made it out. Sucks for them. That is so selfish. I couldn't do it. And the more that I chased it this last year, I was able to go on tour. I did a tour across the United States of speaking. I was able to make over $10,000 speaking, just speaking my story this year, which was a blessing. And I went back to my home school where I graduated from in 2020, and I had teachers in tears. I had kids in tears. And it's like, this is why we do what we do. I just went to a school in New York City and spoke to kids with Justina Valentine. They're hugging me. They're thanking me for coming. They're asking for my autograph. And they said, you know, you gave me the perspective that I needed, because I don't bring my services. I come and bring you the perspective of what it's like to go through that in the public school system, not knowing how many letters are in the alphabet when you're 16, not being understood, your teacher's not knowing, you being treated for ADHD when it's dyslexia. What if I'm one out of 1,000 kids who's going through that, and I have the tools, the tutors, the programs to help them? Who would I be to not speak up? And then especially not bring it back to the school I came to. So, I mean, the humility is just, if I have an ego, I can't help people. And that's what I want to do.
Have you ever heard, you're not what other people think of you? But a lot of times we are what we feel. I always say, don't fake it till you make it, but you can fake it till you feel it, yeah. Which is a different concept. But it's okay to not be what other people think. But you need to recognize how I feel when other people think. Yeah. And it's a different thing. And Dylan, you have some sort of elevated awareness to that at such a young age, while you had so many struggles and challenges that so many, especially young kids, face. You see that more than I do because you deal with more kids than I do. I'm stuck with guys like you. I'm more on the amplified methodology, like Craig Siegel can go help those people. I'll just help him. He'll help thousands like John and Chad. You know, for you, where does that perspective come from?
You know, it's interesting because I take from you that I had in me that he talks about, which is that continue to be more interested than interesting. You know, I use that a lot, and it resonates with the young people today. And it's something that he embodies and he pushes. So that's how you continue to thrive. And my mom is a teacher, so I'm always with the young people. I do a master class now around the United States on the merit mindset for high school athletes. So it's the why you're doing what you're doing, the mental approach, but also the physical approach and how it translates to life. And how ultimately I want to put myself in a position to be a champion in life. But that requires me to continue to be interested in things. So my question for you, Dylan, was overcoming dyslexia. How did that shape your approach to like personal development and inspirational speaking and motivational speaking?
What an amazing question. You know, you're 16 years old. I'll paint the picture. You're 16 years old. You got your license and your mom put insurance on your car so you could drive to your tutor on Saturday morning all summer long while your friends are partying to learn your ABCs. Mm. That's a perspective, right? And then you're drawing it in sand. You're Reese Dorton Gillingham. So I'm drawing my ABCs in sand. I'm drawing it in shaving cream. I'm literally learning my ABCs at 16 years old. And my only thought is, at least I get to drive my car here. I get that time. That's a privilege, right? So like every day when I came in school, I knew that I was doing 10 hours of work for a 50 as a grade, right? And I knew the kids were going to make fun of me because I was pulled out of classes. But my mindset was just, if I get one math problem done today, I can come back tomorrow. If I can understand one thing that's going on in social studies, I come back Tuesday. If I understand one thing in science, I can come back Thursday. That was it. And I was able to translate that because I also had to build relationships with my teachers for them to know that I'm trying. I'm at 110. We're bouncing off the rev limiter right now for this 50 that I just got. So they know that. So I was able to build networking skills. I was able to build a personality. I had no choice but to work ethic. If I didn't put in 10 hours, they'd be like, don't pass him. He's not trying.
Great job.
The master himself, John.
Dylan, I'm going to ask you a quick question. I'm going to tell you a quick story and then I'm going to ask you another question. If you could undo it, would you undo your dyslexia?
Absolutely not.
I knew that was coming. Two people that I'm going to introduce you to. And you may have had at least one of them probably on your show at some point. Matt Stutzman.
Yeah.
And then Merrill Davis.
Sounds familiar. We did nice.
So Matt is not related to you, except that he has, and this is something I talk about. So by the way, I'm a keynote speaker, and one of the talks I give most often, and I'm going to Saudi Arabia day after tomorrow to give this exact talk, is that your weaknesses are also your superpower.
Yes.
So Matt Stutzman was born without arms. He just won the gold medal in Paris, his fourth Olympics at 38.
Oh, wow.
Win both of us.
Right.
holds the world's record for the longest accurate archery shot. He decided to do the Paralympics, even though he was on the able-bodied team, because he wanted to represent his people. Mm. His final round was better than the armed archers.
Wow.
Wow.
But who you really need to be is Merrill Davis. So I used to be the best Olympian in my street until 12 years later, Merrill Davis, figure skater, I went to the Olympics and won a gold, silver, and bronze in figure skating. What's notable about Merrill is she's dyslexic. And her partner, Charlie White, by the way, she won Dancing with the Stars as well. So that's an option for you in the future. Merrill is dyslexic. The reason that she and Charlie won is not despite her weaknesses, because of it, because she couldn't learn routines through the written patterns that a coach would produce. She and Charlie had a backwards practice both. So both learned each other's routines. So she literally knew Charlie's routine and he knew theirs, and they scored the first perfect score ever in figure skating, not despite her weakness, because of it. And so that's another person you should have on your podcast. So back to the next question is, what are you going to do with your superpower going forward?
I'm writing a great question. Writing a book. I
like Hebrew, right to left.
I'm writing a book on the first person perspective of going through high school, not knowing you have dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And then how I've been able to use my what we thought was a disability, which I tell people and the kids I mentor, they're going to be told that disability means unable to do so. And my true belief in what I teach is disability is different ability.
Right. Well, in Saudi Arabia, by the way, which I just got back to, my favorite thing when I was in Saudi was that they don't ever think of anyone as disabled. They call them PODs, people of determination.
Love that.
Isn't that awesome?
Love that.
So I love pods. You're a pod.
Thank you.
So So I had the great honor of meeting you in New York.
Yes, sir.
And having a really good conversation, not knowing any of this story at that time, any of your background. At what point did you your narrative start to switch? Hey, I'm the guy that can't read to the guy that's now going to write the book. Like, at what point was there one pivotal moment that you were like, okay, I got to switch the narrative from this is who I am to this is who I am?
100%. 2020, I was the most terrified kid in the world. There's no way I was going to college. My internship at a tech firm fell through and I graduated in 2020. Something happened in 2020 called COVID. So it was like I had something that nobody has now, and that's time. And most people went on YouTube and they watched YouTube. Some people, you know, day drank. Some people watched Netflix. I fell into Ed Milet, Tony Robbins, David Meltzer, Craig. I fell into that. And I heard somebody talk about a story how, you know, exercise fixes most of your problems and your anxiety comes from the work you're not doing. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go run to a Tony Robbins speech. And I like went from couch to 3 miles that in an hour of going, okay, we're doing this. And I mean, I'm spitting, I've got shin splints, and I'm like, okay. But my mind, I've never had that experience. I'm sure we've all had it here now, where that whole different side of your mind opens, a creative side, and you're like, why do I resonate with this? So the next day I go back, I couldn't sleep. My mind was racing, but I didn't know why it was racing. So day two, I was like, all right, if I'm going to shut my brain up, I got to run 6. So day two, we did 6 miles. Nope. I'm like, why do I resonate with all this so much? Day three, I did 8. So in 3 days, I went from couch to 8 miles. And I'm laying on the turf. I can't walk. I couldn't drive home. I had to get picked up. And I'm like, somebody has it worse than you do. You are right now living a blessing that you once asked for. What can I do to help somebody? And I'm like sitting there on the turf, like, if somebody had it worse than I did, and I was adopted twice, misdiagnosed, lived in an orphanage in Russia, I was like, went through all that, and somebody really does have it worse, I believe that, then what am I doing not to help, and how could I help? What do I know, right? You start with, what do you know? Well, I know what it's like to go through dyslexia. Let me do a selfie video. That was 4 years ago. We're 2024. Yeah. 4 years ago, I made my first selfie video. And now I'm on office hours and just got back from tour.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. God is great.
Congratulations. It's amazing that energy gap between who I am. I am someone that has succeeded with the superpower of dyslexia compared to, especially when we're younger, this is what I want people to think I am, which inhibits and sucks the energy and creates resistance in our life. Dylan Smith is learning at a very young age how to empower others, to empower others to be their best, to live in a consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of his potential. All the respect and humility to you and everything that you're going through today and will help other people go through in the future. Incredible, dynamic keynote speaker, a podcaster, and of course, a serial entrepreneur, making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun. That's what guests like Dylan Smith and our incredible co-hosts do here on Office Hours.